Welcome to Safety School, where we crunch down health, safety, and environment learning into simple bite-sized snippets that you can use for your business or your career, helping you improve your knowledge, boost your performance, and maybe even providing some inspiration. Let's get started. In this episode of Safety School, we're going to give you five principles that you can use to reduce the risk of manual handling injury. Just before we fire ahead with this episode, I wanted to take this quick opportunity to let you know about the free risk assessment video training course that's now available over at safety.com. The course was created by ourselves, chartered health and safety professionals, and you can join thousands of other students around the world in taking advantage of this amazing resource completely free. You can find it very easily, we hope, by visiting safety.com and clicking on the course tab in the top right hand corner, and we really look forward to hearing your feedback on the course. Oh, and one more thing, if you are looking for professional health and safety templates, real-life examples and guidance, I'm excited to let you know that you can now visit Safety's online shop over at safety.com, where our only aim is to help you accelerate your health and safety performance in your business. Okay, now let's get back to it. In 2018 alone, in the UK, there were over 500,000, yes, 500,000, work-related musculoskeletal disorders, otherwise known as MSKs, and actually over 80% of these were what we term as upper limb disorders or ULDs, so those injuries that affect the upper limbs, the neck or the back. And the Health and Safety Executive in the UK estimates that almost 9 million working days were actually lost as a result of these disorders. So manual handling, awkward or tiring positions, and repetitive actions are estimated to be the main causes of work-related MSKs or musculoskeletal disorders, and that's what we're going to help you try and tackle today. Manual handling and lowering the risk of injury from this type of thing isn't an exact science, and it's something you're always trying to work at, to tweak, to try and improve incrementally. And because of that, every lift and every environment really requires a unique consideration on its own merit. However, with that said, to avoid manual handling or these MSK, musculoskeletal injuries, a few simple principles can help us reduce risk to your workers. Let's take a look at five principles you can use to achieve safer manual handling practices. Number one, and something we're probably all guilty of not doing enough of in many aspects of our lives, is actually to plan the lift and the movement in the first place. It's something we forget to do, and it's perhaps the most important thing when it comes to actually doing it properly and avoiding any risk. So before you lift an object, you should look at what the path of travel is, see where you're looking to take it to, and make sure that it's clear, that there's no obstructions or obstacles that's going to cause you an issue or a risk on the way to getting there. And just looking at the object itself can give you an idea of whether you need either another person to help you, so a two-man lift is what we would call that, to give you, at the very least, another person to take a lot of the risk away from it. Other than that, of course, you can consider, do you need a trolley or some form of mechanical assistance to get the object from A to B? Can you think of anything else in the planning process that might be important when you're lifting something? If you were thinking weight in your head, then that's a really good start. And it may seem obvious, but a lot of the time when you're working in different environments, you get things in boxes and packages, and something very small could be extremely heavy. On the reverse side of it, you could get a huge box with a large volume and it's extremely light. So you really have to look for clues like the packing labels and any information that's come with the package to indicate what weight it is. And there is guidance there from the Health and Safety Executive in the UK as to what average lifting limits that would be considered safe for either males or females. I will tag on that to the blog post and the podcast notes so you can have a look at that diagram. It's quite helpful. If there's no easy way to ascertain the weight of the load, a quick push around and a little bit of a nudge can give you an idea of whether you're going to need help or not. It's just a bit of common sense, really. And the other thing is, you know, make sure to ask for help when you do need it. Otherwise, you're going to run the risk of an injury. Something else to remember during the planning process is if you can set it up so that the object is being lifted as close to the height at which it'll be carried as possible, and then that will certainly help in terms of the stress and strain that it puts on your body. Okay, number two then is about positioning and making sure that your feet are shoulder width apart if possible, and also that you're moving the center of your body as close to the center of the weight as you can, and lowering yourself to lift the object using your knees. Also, whenever possible, if you can get the use of handles or some form of handhold system where you can maximize the strength and power of the worker that's lifting the object, then that certainly is preferable as well, because it takes away any risk of losing grip or losing power through a poor grip. And so that's something to consider during your planning aspect as well. Number three then is to do with the pickup. That motion where you're lifting the object upward, you must try and maintain a natural motion and avoid sort of jerky movements, and keeping the load as close as possible to your spine and yourself as you can as you're moving along, engaging the muscles of your core and your torso to make sure your whole body's stable, and you know you're really lifting with all the strength in the center of your body, and just naturally breathing while your legs do a lot of the lifting work. And just remember as well, when you're moving your feet, that they should really move in line with your torso, and just to keep your whole body aligned and as neutral as possible, so you're not overextending and putting any unnecessary pressure on any part of your body. As we mentioned during the planning stage, the preferred area that you want to lift is between sort of your shoulders and your mid to upper thighs, to ensure that you're keeping the heavy loads in an area where your limbs and your trunk are not being forced into awkward postures and therefore increasing the likelihood of injury. So if you keep the load in that position as much as you can throughout the whole movement, then that will reduce the risk. Number four then, just carrying on from our pickup and then moving forward, as we're discussing there, we're walking from point A to point B. As you carry the load, just ensure that you keep your spine upright and avoid any twisting motions or bending or overreaching, which we were discussing there, just keeping your upper body and lower body as neutral as possible as you're moving. Twisting the body and twisting the back is renowned for causing injury, especially you know if you're carrying a heavy load of any sort. So that would be something to really avoid as much as possible. If you are having to turn in another direction, it's really advisable to use your feet and your legs as the direction, taking one foot off in the new direction and allowing the rest of your body to follow that motion, rather than using your back and twisting to get the rest of your body to follow. Something to reconsider again, which is something you really should have thought about during the planning portion of it, is as you're carrying the object, whether it's yourself or yourself and a colleague and so on, can you actually see the path of travel? Is there anything new, or is the object more obstructive than you initially thought? So if it is, of course, you want to avoid any mishaps. And if you recognize that risk during the actual process, it might be wisest to stop the lift and reconsider how you're doing it, and maybe take some corrective actions to make the whole thing a bit safer. The fifth one then is, when you get your destination, woohoo, we got there. It's just about placing it in a safe way. So lowering your object in the reverse of how you actually lifted it in the first place, and making sure not to drop the load or try and force it into place. Or again, we're talking about those jerky movements which often cause injury, to ensure that that's a nice, smooth, steady and deliberate motion to protect you from any unnecessary strain or injury. And that's it for our five principles on making your manual handling safer. Hopefully those steps will help you to carry objects in a way that reduces the risk of injury and helps you get on with your day. That's it for this episode of Safety School. We hope this was helpful. If so, please remember to rate, review and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts or Spotify. And remember, for more health, safety and environment help, you can visit us at safety.com. Until next time, take care.